What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. The Warriors lose a heartbreaker of a game, I guess. I don't even know, man. That was a tale of two halves, and we are going to break all of it down from every angle. Coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's happening? The Warriors lose a cluster of a game to James Harden and the Houston Rockets. 135-134. It was a tale of two halves, no question. The Warriors start the game off hot. Come out smoking hot. Win the first, 34-22. That's a 12-point lead after the first quarter, man. Kevon Looney killed it. First quarter, he was a beast. First quarter, had 9 points. KD, once Steph went out for his first quarter rest, KD took over, ended up with 11 in the first. But Kevon had a great, I wouldn't say game, but he had a great first quarter for sure. He was owning the Capella matchup for those first 12 minutes. Rest of the game, he was fine, but not as good as he was in that first. He was the headliner of the first quarter, there's no question. If Kevon was the headliner, Steph was the, I don't know, what's the complete opposite of the headliner? He was awful in the first quarter. There's no question about it. Steph was just bad in the first quarter. Horrible misses, like bad misses, like the kind of misses you would expect Sean Livingston to have shooting threes. And turnovers were just slapstick. Just brutal, brutal, unnecessary, unneeded turnovers. Careless turnovers. He had 2 in the first quarter, 5 for the game. It was just bad. It was ugly. It was ugly. Good ball movement, though, for the Warriors. They were leading to open shots in the first. They were getting them. Had the Houston defense confused, I guess. It looked like classic Warriors. The first half of this game looked like classic Warriors. It looked like motivated Warriors. Second half is a different story, but I will get to that in a minute. Klay had a couple nice driving layups. He was knocking down the three. He was looking good in the first quarter, first half. And that's going to be the theme of this game, is a lot of players played well in the first half. No one really played that well in the second half. And the thing is, with Klay having some of these nice moves, it kind of empowered him to take some other terrible shots that we're going to talk about. And Klay's even going to talk about it a little later as well. Got some sound from him that I want to play for you guys. As I mentioned, Steph's turnovers in the second quarter, he comes in, immediate turnover. A lot of bad turnovers. A lot of bad turnovers. McKinney comes in, he gave him good minutes, gave him the McKinney effort. And played well. Couple offensive rebounds, he knocks down a three. Loon was all over the place with offensive rebounds. I think he had 5. But the problem is, Clint Capella had 9. And Clint Capella had 21 rebounds. And that's something else we're going to talk about soon. Klay was really good in the first half. There was no Jordan Bell in the first half, which I found a little weird. Maybe it was because Loon was playing so well. But after Jordan Bell's best game in his second season, all of a sudden he can't find the floor. KD had 13 in the first half, and they just came easily, man. It was just not a problem for him. Which is another thing we're going to talk about. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. I'm just running down the game right now. KD looked great. Effortless 13. Just came easy. Post-ups, threes, drives. It was all there. Jordan Bell did check in the third for Looney after he got his 4th foul. Not great minutes, but I understand. You know, I understand why he doesn't get some playing time. But here's the other thing. Because when it comes to McCaw, Jesus Christ. I'll never get over it, I guess, now that I'm talking about McCaw. That was bad. When it comes to McKinney, Quinn Cook, Jordan Bell, Steve Kerr really tightened up his rotation this game. And Jarebko only played 11, McKinney 5, Quinn 7, Jordan Bell 7. Here's my thing. It's January 3rd. Why are you treating this like a playoff game? And at the same time, okay, Quinn Cook might make a mistake. McKinney might make, Bell, all those guys might make mistakes. But as if everyone else was locking everyone down. Capella had 29 points, career high, 21 rebounds also, as if, you know, Loon was locking that down. As if Jordan Bell, what? Jordan Bell comes in, what is Capella going to get? 30 points and 22 rebounds? McKinney comes in, so McKinney's D'ing up Harden. So what, Harden would have had 50 and, you know, 14 threes or something? I just don't understand the tight rotation that he decides to play sometimes, especially over the last couple games that we've seen these guys get more minutes and play well. I just don't get it. I don't get what he does sometimes. And maybe it's not for me to get, but Draymond Green, 37 minutes. Kevin Durant, 42. Steph, 40. Klay, 43. What are we doing? Andre, 34. I thought this was the year of rest and we're getting to the playoffs and youth movement and blah, 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 blah. I just don't understand it. I wish I had more intelligent things to say on the matter, but I don't. It doesn't make sense to me. I would rather take the lumps with McKinney, Quinn, Jordan Bell, Jarebko getting good minutes and not wearing down Steph and KD and Klay with 40-plus minutes in a game in January. So, I don't know. There's my mini rant on that. I will say everyone besides Jordan Bell off the bench had at least 5 points. Andre Quinn, Alphonso McKinney, Jonas Jerebko all had 5. Sean Livingston had 6. I don't know. I think he's too quick to pull the plug on some of these bench players. And I don't like it. I don't like it. So, third quarter, fourth quarter, James Harden took over. James Harden took over. The Warriors took a bunch of ill-advised shots. KD barely touched the ball in the third quarter. The new KD Steph stagger is, I'm not going to say I hate it or they need to scrap it, but it's clearly messing with Steph's momentum and feel during certain parts of the game. Steph did end with a fine line. You know, he was 14 of 27, 5 of 15 from 3, 35 points, but 5 turnovers, some questionable shots late. And Klay Thompson had some questionable shots too, man. I'm going to get to that in a minute. That's one of the toughest parts about this team is, like, I have some critiquing to do on Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. Well, you know, KD had 26, 7 and 3. Steph had 35, 6 and 3. Like, it's, I don't know. I feel weird doing it, but it's more than just the numbers. There were some questionable shots by Steph late. Same thing with KD. Klay is kind of the culprit of all of it, if you ask me. He was great in that first half. He really was. First half, Klay was 8 of 13, 3 of 5 from 3 for 19 points. Fantastic first half. Second half, he goes, what, 3 of 7? And 1 of 3 from 3 for 7 points. And it felt like 7 of those shots were bad. Kind of just dribble in to a contested pull-up two. And it's not like I'll see some fans complain about Klay's mid-range shots. And it's not, hey, don't take mid-range. But take good mid-range shots. Don't waste ISO possessions for Klay Thompson. If there's an ISO possession to be had, it's for Kevin Durant or Steph Curry. It should not be for Klay Thompson. He has really gotten into showing off his handle and pulling up from the mid-range, and it kind of needs to stop. It really does. Because that was part of the problem last night, especially late in the fourth, when Steph is checked back in, KD's in, and Klay's dribbling into a contested mid-range too. That's a problem. That's a problem. Fourth quarter, people kind of argued about it a little bit, about who should have been getting shots up, that KD took 7 shots in a row. He went 1 of 7 in the last, like, 3 or 4 minutes. Okay, that's understandable. And maybe he shouldn't have. But Steph was also 1 of 7 throughout the entire fourth himself. So, look, neither of them played that well in the fourth quarter. And it's funny because Warriors fans are Steph fans. They love Steph, and they should, and they back him, and I get it. But it's not, he's not blameless in all of this. He did not play a great game. He did not play well in the fourth quarter. Late fourth, I understand, yes, I would have liked him to get more shots. I would have liked KD to get, not more shots, but better shots, not be forced to take 7 shots in the last 3 minutes because Clay's going ISO one-on-one because Clay's going Carmelo Anthony in the last minutes of the fourth. So there it is. You know, I feel like I am kind of all over the place here. It was a tough loss. I have to give Harden credit because he brought him back. He basically won that game for them. Step back three after step back three. Austin Rivers was fine. How annoying is Austin Rivers, dude? Can't stand him. But Harden brought him back and continued hit this great run of play without Chris Paul. Clint Capella doesn't get, well, especially in a game where Harden does what he does. Clint Capella was huge for them. As I said, 29 points, 21 rebounds, 9 offensive rebounds. He was great. He was great. And that's going to be a situation where having DeMarcus Cousins back finally, and not just him, but hopefully someone at the buyout deadline as well. Someone, a big body who can help rebound. You know, if Capella has 7 offensive rebounds, and, you know, 19 offensive rebound or 19 rebounds on the night, does that equal a win for the Warriors? It might. It might. It's definitely a spot that is still not great, not a strength for the Warriors. Going to get to some of the positives coming up next. Talked about a lot of the negatives. Going to talk about some more of the negatives also and some sound from last night's game. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Charles T. Hamilton, what's crapping in? Just went on a rant, as I am to do. Last night was ugly. Tale of two halves, great first half. They were up 17 at the end of the first half. I thought, this is the Warriors team I've been waiting to see. This is where they turn it around. Up 17 on the Rockets end of first half. They're motivated. They just whooped up on Portland and Phoenix. We're about to run off some wins here, and we're going to be the Warriors that we all expect the Warriors to be. And then the second half happened, and it was a third consecutive loss at home. And the most frustrating part about that is they gave away 2 of those losses. Lakers came in, kicked their ass Christmas Day. That's all there is to it. There's no other way to credit to the Lakers. Portland, Steph with that terrible turnover late. Dame knocks down the shot, game over. Houston, bad shot selection in the fourth and overtime. Bad defense. James Harden going crazy. Warriors throw that game away as well. So it's frustrating. It's some frustrating stuff. Real quick, before I get into some sound and other things from last night, some positive things. Klay Thompson, in his last 3 games, is 10 of 17 from 3. Starting to bring it back a little bit. Starting to become himself, at least from the 3-point line. Now, I would like to cut out some of the ISOs. That's the thing. It's not the mid-range shots. It's the ISOs into mid-range shots. It's him digging into his Carmelo bag of tricks, basically. That's the problem. But 10 of 17 from 3 in the last 3 games. Has him at 59% for those 3 games and has gotten his percentage up to 35% on the year, which it was down around 33 before this 3-game stretch. So hopefully this is the consistency I've talked about. He's put together 3 solid games from 3. Can this continue? Can he be, you know, get back to what Klay Thompson usually is, shooting the deep ball? I hope so. Alphonso McKinney knocked down his first three in 10 tries last night, which is solid. It's good to see, but he's also in a tough position of, you know, playing 5 minutes a game. Here's your 1-3 a game. You need to knock it down. So it's, I'm glad he did, but I thought it was not overblown, I guess, but as if it was a worry, I wasn't worried about it. He's in a tough position. Quinn Cook knocked down another three last night. He's been playing solidly, but he did have a moment. I think it was the end of the third where he gets a look at a three, pulls it down, tries to dribble around, and kind of blows the last possession. And that's something that I talked about in the New Year's resolutions episode, was for him to be more decisive and more aggressive. And that's a situation where I think he could have shot the three. Just shoot a contested three. It's fine. If it gets blocked, if you, you know, shoot oddly because it was contested, that's fine. He just has a little bit of that timidness sometimes. And we saw that at the end of the third. Andre Iguodala is shooting 37% from three, a career best at the moment. Now, it is a smaller sample size. It's not huge, and he has missed games, but that's a positive. If he can keep it around 37 for the entire season, that would be massive for the Warriors, especially in the playoffs. Now, on to some of the not-so-good things from last night. I mentioned Klay's shot selection. He was asked about it during postgame, and he felt kind of the same way as some of us do. Here's what Klay had to say.
In the second half, I think the ball really got stagnant. That's all he had to a couple of little shots, but thank you. First half, it was a beautiful basketball way we were playing, just moving on quickly, quick decisions. And I think in the second half, we kind of put it in their hands because we slowed it up and tried to do too much isolation. And we can be great at that, but I think we're at our best when the ball's flying around.
So the recording's a little quiet. Basically what he said was ball movement got stagnant. We were stagnant and he took a little blame for it and mentioned that they leaned too much on isolation, which they absolutely did. I'm glad he said these things because I agree with them. And I agree with him that he was a major part of it. He has been less willing to give up the ball this year than most years. He would give it up and trust that it would come back. I don't know if he feels differently about it this year or what, but it is a, I don't know, a different looking vibe from him this season. And I don't know, we saw it last night. Hopefully, you know, what he said in postgame, he means and he'll work to correct, because I think they are at their best when they're not going ISO, and I think they're at their best when Klay's not going ISO. Klay is great at his role. I've said before, I think he's the best number two option in the NBA because he plays it like a number two. He hasn't been doing that as much this year. And maybe that has to do with the struggles from the three-point line. Who knows? But last night was just another example of it not working out. As I mentioned, in the fourth, the distribution was off. Klay took some bad shots. KD took some bad shots. Steph took some bad shots, ill-advised, early in the shot clock. Pull-up threes, mid-rangers from Klay. They just weren't getting into their offense, really. And Steph was asked about some of the shots he took late and just the team in general about, you know, a pull-up three with 18 left on the shot clock and things of that nature. Here's what Steph had to say on the subject.
The one I took in transition, I was wide open and could have waited, but if I make that, it was game over. So I was going for the dagger. Live and die by it. Obviously, you miss it. You start to play the clock game, and I missed that one. I think he came down and tied it up. Just, you know, if I make it, it's a different conversation.
Steph's right. He did only get the one shot late in the fourth. And, you know, if Steph hits it, it's a shot he's made before. If he hits it, that's probably ball game. But at the same time, and I understand what he's saying, because if he knocks that down, I'm probably talking about how great he is. But just in that situation, late in the game, with the lead, Harden's going crazy, I don't know. I would prefer you work for a better shot, but he was open. I don't know. It's all hindsight's 20/20, I guess. I don't think it's a great shot. I don't think a lot of the shots taken late in the fourth. I think the shot selection in the fourth really cost him the game. I think, obviously, Harden going off and, you know, the Rockets having a 39-point third quarter were huge, obviously, but they still could have easily won this game with a little more care late in the fourth, working for great shots late in the fourth, driving to the hoop, you know, just something besides what they did that was a little careless, I guess. Anyways, tough loss for the Warriors. They got some winnable games coming up next. Going to talk about that coming up. And a honestly pretty funny thing happened during the game last night, and I'm surprised I haven't mentioned it. I'm going to get to that next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. One thing I haven't talked about yet, because I wanted to cover the game pretty seriously, I guess. And again, most of it was me just ranting about shot selection and rotations. Credit the Rockets. Even though the Warriors did some dumb things, the Warriors left the door open. James Harden, Clint Capella kicked it down. You know, I have to give him credit. That last shot that Harden hit was absolutely ridiculous. I think he probably misses it 9 times out of 10. But the fact that he could knock it down that one time is incredible. Moving on. Late in overtime, KD, I think he was driving to the hoop. It was a really slapstick possession. Gets it knocked out of his hands. It's off him. He steps out of bounds. Takes 2 more steps out of bounds. Has his feet planted out of bounds. And slaps the ball back in bounds. And play continues. It was hands down the worst missed call I've ever seen in my life. Hilarious to the point that it was missed. The NBA should decide who is responsible for that call, who missed it, and that official should be fired. Like, it's that bad. It's that bad. And it was funny. I'm almost glad. Okay, that's strong. I'm almost glad the Warriors didn't win, because that would have been part of the narrative of how do you miss that? It was so bad, and I wish this was a visual medium so I could play it for you guys. None of the audio does it justice, but like I said, he takes about 5 steps out of bounds. When he actually touches the ball, both feet are touching the out-of-bounds area. It's not like he didn't even jump to try and play it off. He just slapped that thing back with both feet out of bounds, and none of the refs called it. None of the refs saw it. It was ridiculous. KD had actually a funny response to it when asked about it in postgame.
Did you know how far out of bounds you were?
Yeah.
Could you believe you didn't get the whistle?
I could believe it because the refs missed a lot of that tonight. They missed a lot in general, so you can easily fool them.
Have you seen the video?
Yeah.
So that was funny, KD taking a shot at the refs while asked about it. It was crazy. It was crazy. I don't know how you missed that. It was unbelievable. Anyways. The Warriors have a couple games coming up that are winnable. They do take on the Kings on Saturday in Sacramento at the G1C. And you can't write off Sacramento, man. I know the King or the Warriors are 2-0 against the Kings, but that's by a combined 6 points. They won the first one by 1 point, the second one by 5 points with hellacious comebacks late in the fourth. A 17-2 run to end the game in that last one. So this is one where I'd like to see them locked in and win like they should. Because after that, they take on the Knicks at home and Chicago at home, which hopefully will end this 3-game losing streak at Oracle, but we'll see. And not only is this a 3-game stretch that they could and should win, after these 3 games, they've got a rough, rough road ahead. After those 3 games, they take on Dallas, Denver, New Orleans, Clippers, Lakers, Wizards, Boston, Pacers, Sixers, Lakers again, Spurs, and then Phoenix. So that run right there, the only one team where you'd say, okay, that is an easier game is Washington, right in the middle. And then not until they get to Phoenix February 8th. And 7 out of 11 of those games are on the road. So yes, we know the Warriors can win anywhere, anytime, but it would be nice to knock off these next 3 at home and close to home before they go on this extended, not road trip, because it's like 3 on the road, 1 at home, and then another, you know, whatever, 5 on the road, whatever it is. But they need to get it together a little bit. I will also say this. Let's all relax. Me included. They're still the Warriors. They still have more talent than any team in the league. We're still not even halfway through the season. That's coming up on Monday or Tuesday against the Knicks. That's game 41. Still don't have Boogie back. If this continues once Boogie comes back around the All-Star break time, that's when I might start wondering what's going on. But this team is still the Warriors. They're still the best, still the most talent. So we can be upset about the loss. We can be upset about losing three at home, three consecutive games at home. But I'm still not too worried. Not worried at all, really. But upset about a loss. I'll put it that way. League pass picks for tonight. 10 games tonight. Solid slate. I'm going to go with OKC at Portland. Russell Westbrook is playing like shit. So I'm enjoying that. I think you all should too. But the tough part is Paul George is playing like an MVP. But there are funny moments of Russell Westbrook jacking up shots with like 30 seconds left when he's gone 3-for-20 on the night. So check that out. Portland also, I don't know what's up with Portland, man. They struggle a lot. And I don't get it, but I don't know. Seth Curry's been playing really well for them recently. That's always fun to see. I am irrationally invested in Seth Curry's success. And then Dallas at Boston. The Mavs are exciting, man. Luka is fun to watch. I'm just going to stop it there because a lot of the Luka praise is way over the top. I'm enjoying it, though. I'll put it that way. Boston struggles for consistency and a consistent lineup. I mean, like, you have a max player coming off the bench in Gordon Hayward, who's kind of getting it back. But still, it's just a weird thing going on in Boston. Dallas is 18-19. Boston is 22-15. Solid matchup. Should be a fun one. Check those out. Watch Warriors at Kings tomorrow. Might have another pod for you. And before I go, I want to ask you guys a question. Let me know. Hit me up on Twitter, at CTH415. I'm wondering about format here. Do you prefer the format I have here where the next day I come out with a rundown of the game? Or would you rather have something almost immediately after the game? It would still be an hour or two after because I'd have to record it, actually. You might not get as much post-game sound, but, you know, I'm wondering what you guys would prefer, because this is for you. This is your podcast. Hit me up about anything you want, but specifically right now I want to know, would you rather me do basically like post-game podcasts where you'll get it that same night, or do you like this where I have some time to get post-game sound, see if any other news hits within that time? Let me know. Whatever you guys want, I may just do it anyways, but let me know, because this podcast is for you, and this podcast is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We'll be right back.